Thank you, Chairperson and members. The background to this agreement is as follows. Lesotho is the only member of the United Nations which is completely surrounded by another country. Lesotho is therefore landlocked by South Africa, and South Africa is its only neighbor. This unique situation calls for a special approach. In 2001, the South Africa-Lesotho Joint Bilateral Commission on Cooperation was established. A key objective of the agreement establishing this JBCC is to assist Lesotho to graduate from its least developed status to that of a developing country. This draft agreement aims to further this objective. A large number of Lesotho's GDP is derived from migrant workers in South Africa, as already alluded to by the chairperson. Lesotho's economic dependency on the RSA translates directly into the need for its nationals to cross the border into the RSA and back. Foreigners can also only enter Lesotho via the RSA. The security considerations of this unique situation therefore affect both countries, if not more so, Lesotho. The current process in terms of border control is not able to cope with the high volumes of travelers. We have counted plus minus 28,000 per day crossing the borders between South Africa and Lesotho. The effectiveness of this current, what we call sausage machine approach, is therefore questionable. How good is our border control really? The porous borderline furthermore encourages bypassing of controls. The high numbers of travelers also has service delivery considerations. In other words, those travelers who comply therewith have to end up in very long queues to do so. The situation presents us with three options. The first is to maintain the status quo, which is not working for us, neither for the people in the system. The second is to increase our resources to effectively being able to manage the peaks. However, that would translate into an underutilization during troughs or quiet times. The third option would be to stop processing routine commuters and to monitor their compliance, which is the option that we are proposing. The objections of this option is to facilitate the movement of citizens of the RSA and Lesotho, to reduce immigration formalities over the citizens of RSA and Lesotho visiting the territory of the other state, to focus our efforts on inspections, for example, in workplaces to detect illegal foreigners, to free resources and use them more effectively, and to reduce opportunities for corruption within the South African Police Service and Department of Home Affairs at the port of entry. The last point refers to travelers who bribe officials to gain entry despite the previous overstay of their 30-day temporary residence permit. The progress of this initiative is as follows. The draft agreement served before Cabinet in 2005. Cabinet resolved that the matter be referred back to the JBCC for consideration of the implications thereof for the RSA and Lesotho, and finally to the JCPS. The JBCC considered the implications and found that it would be advantageous for South Africa and Lesotho to implement the agreement. The agreement was finally signed on the 19th of June 2007. The advantages of implementing the agreement would be the creation of fast lanes for South African and Lesotho citizens at the 14 land border posts. We would be able to reduce the numbers of immigration officers employed at border posts reduce congestion at border posts, enhance the focus on problem cases in our territories, and there would also be economic advantages of free movement. The scope of the agreement is the 14 land border posts between the RSA and the city. It only applies to citizens of the RSA and the city who are in possession of valid national passports, and only in respect of visitors and permit holders. So those permit holders, of course, would be people allowed to work or study in the territory of the other state. And it would also apply to contract workers when they depart. However, when they arrive, we would have to activate their permits, so they would need to report to immigration. The proposed mechanisms we intend to implement with this agreement is the broadening of the current visa exemption. Currently, Lesotho nationals may visit the RSA for periods of up to 30 days only. This exemption would have to be changed so as not to be a time-bound. However, it would still apply only to purposes for which a visitor's permit is required. So that would be holiday and business, as previously alluded to. Exemption from the requirement of a visitor's permit. And finally, category exemption to RSA and Lesotho citizens not to have to report to immigration when entering or leaving South Africa. The proposed procedures would be that visitors produce their passports at the perimeter gate instead of to immigration to verify validity and authenticity thereof. There would be no endorsement of passports, individual movements would not be captured, and permit holders would not have to report to immigration on arrival and departure. This is in line with the status quo. However, when the agreement is implemented, the category exemption would obviate the need to issue 6-month exemptions to individuals at a time. The unaffected categories would be third country nationals, irrespective of their status in South Africa and Lesotho, and then, of course, airport users for flights between South Africa and Lesotho. Also, another category that's excluded is people wishing to cross the border legally at places other than the 14 border posts. The risk factors that we've identified are document fraud and what we call stoplist cases. Those would be people who are prohibited in terms of the Immigration Act. The ways in which we would seek to mitigate this risk is to shift our focus from the port of entry to the inspectorate division of the department, to improve cooperation and exchange of information at all levels between the two states, to continue actively pursuing our anti-corruption strategy, and then also to implement the implementation framework, that is the airports project. This entails the placement of immigration officers of South Africa at Moshweshwe International Airport, intensify focus on the borderline, to look at the security of enabling documents, and to improve our consular cooperation. I can just add that in terms of the implementation framework, both countries are committed here to, implementation framework, which is currently in draft form. The way forward then is ratification by both countries of the draft agreement, legislative enablement also by both countries, communication implications. This refers to a communication plan that would focus on citizen education programs in order to ensure a common understanding of the terms and conditions of the agreement. Then entry into force, finally. The committee is therefore urged to lend its support to the ratification of the agreement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Number one, the agreement was signed in 19 June 2007. Why are we receiving the presentation now? Number two, Chairperson, the very same department who encouraged porous border. What is the purpose of signing agreement if you have the policy of porous border? Number last, there are still, here you mentioned 14 land border posts. There are still border posts which are manned by the police illegally against our immigration law. Again, it comes back to my question of why, what is the purpose of signing this thing if you are not in charge? Thank you, Chair. The issue of documentation, as much as I understand that people would not have to produce any document, this is what I understood you very well. One of the problems that we have identified is that majority of the citizens of the city do not have documents. And all along they've been using this photocopy paper that are passing into the border. It's a normal A4 paper that gets stamped all the time, because one of the problems is that either is the capacity of the government of Lesotho to give its citizens a document. When we talk free movement, are we talking free movement which is not going to be recorded, where people will just move freely without being captured? But I've seen hands here, I've seen bubble cakes, well, Charlie. And again, you know, just reminded something from Hosanna earlier. As much as we respect, obviously, the country, Lesotho as an independent state without. Have you looked at the issues of security? Because I know for a fact that there are a number of people that access South Africa via Lesotho. And for them, it is very easy to acquire whatever document to them when they come to South Africa. We look at those issues. Mimiki, Bobusaka, Nishali, Kodak, Mamma Kira, and all. Mimiki?
Chair, I wanted clarity with regard to the standard protocol regarding the movement of people as to how is this agreement coming into this. Thank you.
No, it's just a remark, Chairperson, that at last what we would have loved to see in South Africa is coming into fruition, because we could face the reality. It was just the issue of Lesotho was just a matter of frustrating people, because it was just like an open border ever since, because they were crossing from the mountains and so forth, not to come to stay in South Africa, to come and shop and go back to their country. So this I hail as a success and good for the people. After all, there is SADC, a protocol that is coming in that is easing all the restrictions. So I have no qualms about what is happening.
Ali? Thank you, Chairperson. I think through to this presentation, this agreement is one of Honore is signed the 19th June 2007. I want to know if after this agreement, how many immigrants, illegal immigrants to the South Africa, as we have the report. Then I know is that they utilize for the travel documents just in our case. Then they just immediately immigrate 2 years, then never return to the Lesotho again.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I think we are happy that something has been done with this thing. But what we need to take into account is that administration of two countries needs not to stop. You see, there is this point that they are saying here that category of exception to the citizens of the Republic and those of Lesotho citizens not to have to report to immigration when entering or leaving South Africa. That is one thing. How are you then going to identify people to say, no, that one, it's a citizen, so you cannot present yourself here and so on. So, but I think it will be proper for us to say there will be a different treatment of people who will enter as South African citizens and Lesotho citizens into this borders. But just to say that they won't present themselves to immigration officers and then they will just hawk and so on, I don't think that one, I understood it well to say it will be just when you get to the border, you will have to say, I'm a South African citizen, I'm a Lesotho citizen and so on. So can we be clear on that one?
Probably mine is very much the same. You see, when you look under scope, you have 40 land border posts. Citizen of South Africa and Lesotho on valid national passport. Now, do I assume that you just show your passport and then through the immigration officers and then go through? And on your return, you do the same, because the questioner raised, we don't know who's in the country and who's not.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I'm covered by what the Honorable Skhosana said, because I just wanted to know how are we going to know how many immigrants have we got? And how are we going to know that those are residents of Lesotho? Because people can come via Lesotho, and no permit holder will be, no one will produce. So how are we going to know how many immigrants are we having in South Africa? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I will respond to some of the questions. Most of the questions, I think, are issues of the mechanics. How is it going to be implemented? And I will leave that to Marie to answer, since she has been involved with the negotiations with the Basotho on the issue. Chairperson, it is correct. This was signed in 2007. The reason why it is late is because it had to and fro between the legal, the state law advisors and our legal advisors, between Cabinet and the JBOCC on the issue. And that consultation had taken a lot of time, and that is why we could only bring it before the committee or before Parliament at this point in time. I agree with the speaker, Chairperson, that we are not in control of all the 14 border posts. The police are assisting in that. But with our turnaround strategy now in the department, Chairperson, one of our commitments is to have those ports of entry to be manned by immigration officers from South Africa. And Chairperson, I can say that I have made that as newly appointed. It was one of the issues that I committed, Chair, that all or most of these posts, and there is a plan that is currently manned by the South African Police Service, that we will incrementally take over those ports of entry as money becomes available to recruit the staff for those ports of entry, Chairperson. The purpose for the signing of this document, Chairperson, is really to regulate or regularize the movement between the two countries. At present, we have an untenable position where, Chair, as you have rightly mentioned, people do not have documents to cross the border, one. So they use illegal methods to come into the country. This is one way of trying to get a regime in place that would enable everyone to cross at the border point. Secondly, Chair, all the immigration rules really were flouted by the cross-border, the people moving across the borders. And we think that this agreement here will regularize that movement, and that we would have, firstly, a record of it and control over the movement of people between the two countries. Chairperson, I will ask Marie to talk to the issues of the implementation of it and the security considerations that were raised by the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, as part of the technical explanation, I can mention to the honourable members that the police members performing immigration functions at the moment at some of the outlying border posts are duly appointed as immigration officers in terms of the Immigration Act. So there is no irregularity to that work being performed on an agency basis. As far as the implementation of this agreement is concerned, as iterated by one of the members, nationals of both parties would require to have valid passports. The implementation of the agreement is dependent on an implementation framework that would guide its implementation. It's also stated as such in the agreement. The implementation framework we are currently drafting with our colleagues in Lesotho. It is very, very specific on the requirement for secure passports, national passports. Lesotho has implemented a machine-readable passport. They do have a backlog of issuing of passports to their citizens. We are constantly urging them to find ways and means to clear that backlog so as to enable all citizens to travel legally. The new system would entail that a person who wishes to cross the border at a port of entry would show his or her national passport to the person at the perimeter gate and wouldn't have to queue at the immigration building. So that is the way that we currently do it, but the way that we currently do it is based on a six-month exemption that we have to issue to each person, and that is also a great administrative burden. We also find that people's passports fill up very quickly, and we try to keep in mind the overarching aim of trying to facilitate, which is why we say if we could have a category exemption in our legislation that exempts people from reporting to immigration, we would cut out the paperwork. They would report to the perimeter gate, show their national passport, and if that is not a national passport of either of the two contracting states, that person would be referred back to immigration desk. The way in which we hope to make this system secure is to implement biometric systems at that point, at the perimeter gate. People would then enroll to that system. We would have their details. We would have their fingerprints, and we would be able to make sure that it is that person crossing our border. If we are able to implement such a biometric system, it would also be able to give us the statistics of people moving and the numbers of people in our country who have not departed. The question of how this would fit into the SADC protocol, this actually goes a step beyond the SADC protocol, in that the SADC protocol only provides for visa-free movement and for settlement. This goes beyond that because now we're also saying, due to Lesotho's unique situation, we wouldn't require them to report to immigration on each and every movement. Chairperson, I think those are the questions I've noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find out from the last speaker, why is he in the contradicting the previous statement? My learned friend agreed that things are not normal.
Now.
Yes, yes. things are not normal.
Mm.
And indeed, as ourselves, Chairperson, we were there. We found that there are border posts which are manned by the police. And in terms of the police are controlled by standing order. If you say police are part of the immigration officers, you are contradicting yourself. Because police are controlled somewhere, even if they are doing the work on your behalf. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, let's say maybe we've got this. I agree, Lesotho, South Africa. But then what do we then say with this dual citizen? If somebody resides in America or Britain or China, but at the same time is also a citizen of Lesotho, and then he then decided or she decided to use a South African citizenship whereas he is also a citizen of another country. What is happening with that person? Is that person also entitled to all this free movement and so on? But also one other aspect is that to say people will only present documentation to an official who is not trained, who does not understand, is this a valid document? How do I then trace this document if it is not fraudulent and so on? And say, no, immigration officers will only check this and this and this, and then others will just go free because of those are the only official who will just look at the color of the document and let the person pass. Can we get clarity on that one? Thank you.
Chairperson, the question of dual citizens, the agreement specifically provides for a passport of South Africa and Lesotho. So that person would have to present the Lesotho or the South African passport. In any event, it is already legislated in South Africa that if you're a South African citizen as well as a citizen of another state, you may not enter or depart from South Africa on your foreign passport. Then as far as the ability of persons manning the perimeter gates to distinguish between fraudulent and authentic passports is concerned, we would like to assure the members that training is very much part of the implementation framework and that the agreement would not be implemented before the relevant training has not been successfully rolled out.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the issue of the police issue, I don't think it was meant to contradict what I have said, Chairperson. I think all that the official tried to say was that even though we have police that are doing it at present, that these police do have been appointed according to the Immigration Act, and they are mandated to do that. We know that that is an anomaly, and it has been issued and it has been raised by the Portfolio Committee for some time. And as I said before, we are in the process of rectifying that to see that we actually have immigration officers placed at these ports of entry and not the police doing the work of immigration on our behalf. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm not asking questions, Chairperson. I just want to put it clear. No one in this portfolio committee is against this agreement, Chairperson. The only concerns we are raising is the implementation part of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. And what we'll do is that we will have to deliberate further in study groups politically. It's a wonderful thing when everybody appreciates for this positive. We will then move the adoption of the agreement tomorrow in the portfolio committee, meaning that members with whatever concern, political concern, whatever, can use them later. This report just arrived on the system. So we have not had an opportunity to engage that. So, but I think we appreciate the steps that have been taken by government to begin to ease, you know, the movement of people in the region. In fact, it's not just you look at the Mozambican 30 days visa fee, we still have the Zimbabwe situation. And I think gradually we're taking the Madrid approaches very much. But we'll further deliberate on this report, and then and tomorrow we'll then be with the next adoption. On that note, I really want to take this opportunity, Mr. McKay and our colleagues, to thank you very much.
The issue of the 19th, are we still going to Kempton Park?
Sorry, I want to word of order.
Thank you.
Word of order. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. McKay. Facilitation of movement and goods. And I know on the good side, I think the customs have been quite very advanced within the region. And ourselves, I think we are steadily getting there. But at some point, there will be a need to look at the general picture of what is the approach, and as much as we deal with these countries, how do you prioritize them and how do we engage on those issues? You may be very advanced with regard to identifying the problems on the ground, but you're not sharing with Parliament those issues. We only receive, based on the report that is coming, that this is an agreement, but generally there's no engagement in Parliament and ourselves. Another point that Jose raises, I think he may raise it in joking, but I think at some point we informed that not all what's called a cause of entry are meant by immigration, by home affairs, a very senior person who said that in immigration. But again, it still confirms that we know that there are still police who are doing a lot of, you know, immigration work. But to appreciate, you know, the smoothness of, you know, how you're really working hard to really deal with this of migration. I want to raise this thing in the portfolio committee. We will not have this opportunity again, but to really appreciate the work that you have put at the airport, at the OR Tambo Airport, and other ports of entry where we have seen capacity there, and the stability that you're beginning to see from the immigration in general. We really appreciate that. There may be elements that we still have to deal with, of, you know, corruptions and all of those issues that we still have to deal with. But I think I'm very satisfied at this level that, you know, you are coming as well. You don't make noise. I know you're on the ground. Wherever I go, you always say Mr. McKay was there, you know, and we really appreciate that. And we should keep it up in the best interest of the country. And we really appreciate those people. On that note, members, we have already thanked the Deputy Director General. We'll deal with this issue. Tomorrow, we'll creep over it. Tomorrow, we'll do the necessary, you know, requirement by Parliament. If we were to adopt the report, we'll adopt the report. But we'll have to engage both on those issues. On that note, thank you very much. And the team can go back safely. Thank you very much. So, okay. Members, the last part. Where are you going? Well, I've not adjourned the meeting because. Oh, I want to remember. Yeah. There's nothing I can do. Sometimes it's just zero. Members, what we are now going to deal with is that we passed the film and publication bill in Parliament, which was then sent to the president to assent. The bill has came back from the president, raising a number of issues that the president believes that these issues that he has raised are constitutional issues. Therefore, what we have proposed in the bill may be unconstitutional. I've made available the report of the president to members. I may not want to go into detail with that report. One of the things that I want to raise is that we view this thing very seriously, as I've said earlier, coming from the president, and we'll have to deal with it seriously, with respect, and make sure that we sort of conform with what has been proposed, and maybe come up with something that will be constitutional to make sure that this bill, in fact, meets what we want to achieve at the end of the day. On that note, members, I'm not going to allow you to go into the details. Now, I want members to go back, flip over these proposals that the president has raised, especially Section 29, Section 24A, Clause 29, Section 24A, that's where the crack of the matter is generally, within that area. Members can go through those issues. The issues are very simple issues. And there are two areas that I can say to members that need to be addressed. Is that of a person having to have information around someone committing this offense of either child pornography or pornography, and then that person fails to report to the police will be liable for a criminal offense. This is what they should call it. Now, I want members to go digest this thing. Tomorrow we'll engage. Either members may come with another proposal, but we can engage further, but I want members to sleep over this thing. We can engage further. In fact, tomorrow we can engage to a point that we can in fact adopt a particular approach, or either we can delete that part, informed by, you know, informed by what the president is doing, or maybe we can tighten up that part so that, you know, we don't lose the object of the bill itself. So on that note, therefore, members, you have the bill with you, you have the report of the president, you have the summary of the parliamentary legal cases that we have asked them to go through what the president is doing. I think, in fairness, that summary of Parliament, in fact, agrees with what the President is doing. But it does not give us, in fact, the options with regard to what is it that we must sort of finalize. So I see you raise your hand.
What I'm saying is, one thing we don't have is the President refers to a legal opinion which he attaches to his letter. It's not included in the pact. I'll just ask that tomorrow we get that.
Thank you very much, though. I think we must get that legal opinion. We must ask for that legal opinion so that tomorrow we can then have further information. Now,
I got a note here that says that members of the ANC must remain for a few minutes. On that note, members, the portfolio committee will meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The venue will be communicated to members. The issue of the invitation by Nana Inga? Yes, the issue of invitation by intelligence minister. Our committee has not been approved. And I'll believe that tomorrow there's a third meeting. We're supposed to go in tomorrow. The 19th Thursday. They have not approved that thing. But we need to look at either having a small delegation. So the issues that they're going to deal with are dealing with issues of immigration. And rather than having the whole committee, what we can then do will be to request, even if it can be three or four people. And I'm not sure that Parliament will not have that money, except it is this restriction that has been put on the government. It can't go to meetings, can't be. I don't know, but we need to write another memo which says that if Parliament can only allow three or four people to go, it's a very important meeting. But there's a link issue that we're dealing with. On that note, members, we thank you very much. We'll meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The venue will be communicated.